Welcome back to another episode. Here I am today with Jose, and Jose, I want to ask you to kick things off. We're going to maybe talk a little bit about writing with digital tools. Can you maybe talk about what the writing process might look like when you get to use digital tools, or how it changes?
Well, I mean, first, the main thing is you're not using a pencil anymore, and so I think before, when you were writing, I want to say it's easier to brainstorm and just go, because you can edit text so much easier when it's digital. You can go back and cut and paste, you can move things around, so you don't have to think as linear as you would before. Or before, you would have to use different note cards so that you could fix things and move things around later on when you were going to transfer it to paper or type it up. But now that it's digital, you can just start kind of brainstorming, and if you want to move things around, you're able to move things around. And now, because of cloud-based services, now you don't actually even have to have the same device. You can begin something on maybe your phone or a mobile device, and then continue it on your laptop or desktop.
All right. And specifically with the writing process, you know, itself, has it changed for you, your understanding of it, now that you're using technology and digital tools? Or do you still use it and just apply the digital tools to do the process?
I think the process is somewhat similar. I might draft a little bit more than I would in the past. I think in the past, I might have just opened up Word, something like Word, and then just started typing my essay and just going. Whereas now, I might use my notes app and kind of brainstorm some things, or I might go to iThoughts and actually map out what I'm going to do. Whereas before, I might have sketched it in a notebook, but it wasn't really full-on effort of what it's going to be. Something like an iThoughts, I can add images to remind myself of what my ideas need to be with my outlines. So the outlines just become a lot richer. And I mean, and the editing, the tools are just so much stronger. I mean, your alphabet tools, your grammar tools, your spell checks, they're just so much stronger. It's way easier. I mean, before, you had to wait till you finish your document and then press spell check and look over your document. Now you can just highlight the word, and right there you'll be giving 3 or 4 options sometimes of right. What that word is.
And if you aren't using spell check, if you're just using a pen, pencil and pen, you don't have that option. You'd have to use dictionaries. You'd have to really do a good job in proofreading.
Yeah.
And your whole process would probably start and finish using that pencil and paper, typically. Mm-hmm. I was just noticing when you were saying it there as well that you jump between apps for different parts of the process, it sounds like. So if you're brainstorming, you might use one specific app. If you're drafting, maybe you're using different apps. Are you using different apps for different parts of your writing?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, Word is still kind of where everything ends up in, but I might use just regular, the iOS Notes app to start give myself some notes. And then for the actual writing, I'm still kind of going between IA Writer and ByWord for iOS devices. And that's just mostly because I'm able to then pick up my work on my laptop as well. But I've used also Pages. And that was Pages is a lot more when I'm trying to work essays. And I don't know, maybe it's just something that was ingrained, and just the way that Pages looks a lot more the way essay writing looks. I don't know if that makes sense.
Yeah, I think it makes a lot of sense. I think that, you know, typically when we're producing essays or writing, we're using word processors, you know, Microsoft Word, Pages, or even Google Docs. Mm-hmm. But I think that's maybe a generational thing. You know, that's how we were introduced to this whole concept of, you know, using technology for writing. It was typically through word processors. But one of the things I think now with the other ways of doing things, you know, publishing on blogs, publishing on Twitter, publishing on all these different mediums, that we can publish and then go back and edit. Like, we both do a little bit of blogging. And you can publish your blog. 10 minutes later, you can go back and edit it. We know with pencil and paper or traditional writing processes, it doesn't work like that. You know, once it's published, it's pretty much done. Whereas now with all the new tools and new apps, we can jump around a lot and continually update the published document or the final published work. But you had mentioned that you end up in Word a lot, or in, you know, Pages, in these word processors. Can you maybe tell me what a word processor means to you versus plain text or maybe even rich text? How do you feel about the different types of text files and what they mean or where they fit, or yeah. do they play much of a role for you?
Well, I think it's because, I mean, if I'm using something like Byword or AI Writer, I'm putting in markdown text. And so I'm using that more as kind of like a highlighter for myself.
Can you explain what is markdown?
It's just simple kind of, I don't want to say simple, but it's just a different way to type up your text so that you're editing, formatting within there, but kind of not really. So if I was going to do a title or a heading, I would do hashtag, space, and then whatever my heading's going to be. And if I wanted to be a heading 2, I would do two hashtags, and then space, and then the heading. And so for me, more than anything, that's kind of just an outline or just a reminder of this part needs to be, this is a heading, this needs to be bold. And since I have double hashtags, when I put it into Word, I might give it a different font size. And more than anything is so that I don't have to think about those things while I'm typing or while I'm drafting. I just know that that's a heading, and I've added that hashtag as a sort of a mark for myself.
Right, because with plain text, it's typically clean. There's no formatting that gets in the way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, markdown is, it's plain text that instead of adding all the rich text features or the, you know, all the different formatting, you're just adding little bits of text. So that when you export it into rich text or into a font or publish it, that formatting is built in based on the rich, on the plain text file.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the nice things as well about plain text, I think, is that it's the lowest common denominator for digital text writing. So it'll probably be around the longest. Because chances are the documents you worked on in college or years ago, the word process documents, they might not open today because the software or the versions might have changed. So if you're writing maybe for the longevity purposes, to keep your writing around and to open it 10, 15, 20 years down the road, plain text is probably the way to go. You know, when you go into rich text, probably will hopefully still be, you know, fully accessible. But once you go into word processed files, I think the date on those files might expire sooner.
Oh, no, for sure. I mean, even like, when we were in college, we were saving things under WPS files, so it's like publisher files.
Right.
Those are obsolete now. I mean, right. You won't find anything that's going to open it, and you might be able to open it up in plain text, but you're going to get a bunch of jumbled symbols throughout because the plain text isn't going to recognize some of that formatting.
And as teachers, when we've got our students in our classroom, I think we have to be very cognizant of this mm-hmm. because the kids are, when they're writing in our classroom, they're writing, building up these skills that they're going to use, you know, 20 years down the road in their careers. And 20 years down the road in their careers, I don't think they're going to be using Microsoft Word. I think they're going to be using much more dynamic technologies, and they're going to be using stuff. So I think we need to help them build habits that they can, you know, sustain. So maybe working in plain text files, using text editors, maybe even using markdown, you know, mm-hmm. and building these different skills that, you know, will serve them better in the long run, I think.
Yeah. No, for sure. I mean, because we need to prepare them for their future and not for ours.
Exactly, yeah. So with this in mind, how does this translate to the classroom? Do you have any ideas or examples you can share about how kids are building their the writing process skills or building their writing skills using technology in the classroom?
I think we're veering away from just using Word. I think before, if you went to a computer science class and the kids were learning how to type, they were in Word. Mm-hmm. And that's where everything had to be created from. I think now we're publishing on different kind of programs so that we might do research, but instead of doing a traditional 5-paragraph essay, you might still have 5 paragraphs, but you might mind map it, and you might add images throughout. And so it's not as, the writing's not as linear anymore.
And I know you're using different apps, so kids are maybe drafting in one app in the classroom, mm-hmm. and then copying it out and pasting it into, let's say, a blogging platform,
mm-hmm.
right? So you're teaching kids how to copy and paste text between different apps,
yeah.
between desktops?
Well, yeah, I mean, mostly we're using Google Docs,
okay.
and that's just so that the kids can have that file if they go home and they want to add more to it, and just to give them that accessibility, because if they use one of our apps, they might not have a device at home to be able to access it, that content.
I think that's a great point, to give kids access to the technologies that they will use, that they use in their day-to-day life.
Mm-hmm.
So if we have, let's say, Adobe software here in school, I think if we teach them that, they won't have that at home.
Yeah.
So if we can find free web alternatives, that's probably the way to go.
Mm-hmm, you know? For sure.
Jose, we're out of time pretty much, but thank you for your ideas today. and we'll be back next time.